You know, what's your name, though, the loudmouth? What's your name?
My name is Seth C. Payne.
Good morning, Mad Radio on a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. It is the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. We have four games this weekend. We have all the games on Sports Radio 610, by the way, brought to you by RideMetro.org. And I wanted to begin there.
With
who are you guys rooting for this weekend?
Oh, I thought you were talking about with the guy we interviewed yesterday that called me a loudmouth.
He did call you
a loudmouth. My wife thought he was going to snap. We all thought he was relatively composed. She was like, "Oh, you could tell he was."
He didn't like getting in the gutter.
Yeah.
I didn't think that he was going to snap.
He's got that side to him. Look, he's one of these motivational speakers where I think I think it looks like he's bought Twitter followers. Anyway, we're supposed to get right into this. Apparently, I'm not supposed to showcase that side of my personality anymore, which I get.
Well, we had a conversation about it.
And our new program director was like, "So are you guys, is that what you're like in real life?" And Paul and I were like, no, of course not. not really. And then, even though we kind of are.
Well, when I was going over to shoot Just Saying, a television show, which you can watch 10:30 Saturday on the Cube, I thought to myself, damn, am I just a jackass? because our new boss likes to talk about how sports radio is essentially a bunch of people having a conversation in a bar. And he basically the comparison that he made, because I would venture to say that Seth and I and then eventually Mike, you weren't totally immune from this.
No, that's fine. I yelled.
We pulled knives out and we just stabbed him to death in the middle of a bar, and then we just kind of went back to drinking.
Yeah, basically.
That's what we did. And I thought to myself, because I don't know if I said clown or moron, but he kept on looking at me and saying, like, you know, if I were to come into a bar and you were to call me a clown or a moron,
then how would I
feel about you going forward? And I just started thinking to myself, oh, well, hang on a second. And then he went a little bit further and he's like, well, how often, do you have conversations like that in a bar with your friends or with anyone else? And I started thinking to myself, and it's not that often, but I was like, once a weekend or so.
Not that often. Right. Once a weekend's pretty often.
Well, you go to the bar twice a weekend, so it's a little bit different. But I had an existential crisis while I was driving in the car going from here at Sports Radio 610 to the Rustic where we shot the show.
Yeah.
And you know, much like Patrick Bette David would have wanted me to do, I felt like I was devastated, and I delivered the appropriate amount of outward sadness and despair over the fact that I'm probably the worst.
Yeah, there's a good chance we are. We
just suck.
No. You don't suck. We're just maybe, I don't know, maybe we're too aggressive sometimes.
Well, I actually had a kind of similar experience after this whole meeting. Because I went to get some food at a place that I am a regular of. I'll go usually twice a week.
Yeah.
And the guy who owns it is a big Houston sports fan. But he's got crazy opinions. Like, to the point where there'll be times where I'll think about going and I'm like, hold on a second. I need to, verify. Let me just remind myself of what happened the night before.
Like, how crazy? These are, bench James Harden opinions? Like, that crazy?
Not quite that crazy. But he'll, throw out, trading James Harden if the Rockets lose, three in a row.
Oh, okay.
And so yesterday I walk in and his main takeaway is the Texans need to rebuild. And if he was running that business, he would trade Watt and trade Clowney.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like... And I actually was, getting a little bit, not, actually upset, but, I was getting, agitated.
Yeah.
And then I thought about what our new boss said, and I'm not going to yell at the guy, but basically what I would do in that situation, I'd be like, well, here's what you're not really considering. Sometimes you lose, but you're not going to trade away your best parts because your worst parts are the reason why you lost the game.
Right.
But I thought to myself, if somebody called this show and suggested that, then I would get agitated, and I would have strong words for them
about it. You wouldn't be the guy you are in a bar, necessarily.
Yes.
But I don't know. Bars are different because, especially after you've had 6 to 18 beers, you sometimes get a little bit more bellicose. And I don't know about the bar situation. I do think, I guess where I differ a little bit is just that, I grew up listening to Howard Stern and some people that felt like id radio, where you just let all your inner thoughts and everything out, however you are. And it's almost because you're talking into a microphone, it kind of, you let your, like, complete, true, uninhibited self out. So it's not who you would be actually in public. Like, people know me. Like, I'm not running around. It's not like I'm in the grocery store being like, what's the deal with these Honeycrisp apples? They're so damn expensive. Like, obviously, I'm not going to do that. But on the inside, I am. Why?
That's a good point.
Why are they so expensive?
Really?
Like, are you like that on the inside?
They're like drugs.
Are you like that on the inside?
Not anymore. Okay. I almost, like, a lot of times on air, what ends up happening is, it's me as a 23-year-old. Like, it's like anything, all these shells I've built around me to squash the real me over the last 15, 20 years, I peel all those away. And it's just pure young, stupid Seth with the benefit of experience. It's almost, you know, it's almost like the vigor of a young man with a little bit of the benefit of the things that I've learned. But maybe I need more. I need more shells on top of me.
How much
wrap
anger?
Wrap me up in shells, Mike.
How much anger do people want in Sports Talk Radio, and how much of it depends on anger at a team or a situation versus anger at a guest or a caller?
I think it's in spots. Yeah. You want it from time to time. You want to know that it's always on the table. It's essentially the nuclear option, except for you are a very aggressive nuclear state. Where,
who, me?
Where, no, we're talking about those who might be angry in Sports Talk Radio. I think you want to have the nuclear option available enough. Yeah. However, I think you want to have one of those countries that may be contributing to the eventual blacking out of the sun, you know, the eventual decrease in human population, because you might be using the nuclear button, you know, once a week, twice a week, sounds like a lot, Paul,
in your personal life. That's the problem with that, the once a week. Like, in a big city like Houston, the thing sometimes it's always amazing to me is that in big cities, you still end up in relatively small circles, like whatever bars or anything you go to, and that you end up being seen by the same people all the time.
Well, shouldn't I think over the course of your day, they say you should have a good laugh every day and a good cry every day. Well, shouldn't I be able to have a nice temper tantrum every day when I see my energy bill and how ridiculous it is for the second damn month in a bleeping row, which was last night? Me at 11 o'clock, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna pay all my bills for the rest of the week.
Bill.
And I check my energy bill again. I'm like, last month it was ridiculous because it was $100, and I have changed nothing about my habits, and I'm very frugal when it comes to it. And then I check it last night, it's $130. What the hell? I don't know what's going on.
The worst, that is the thing, every single month for the past, I'd say for the last 240 months of my life, I'm shocked by my energy bill. Either on the good side or the bad side. It comes in and I'm like, this can't, what? No, there's got to be a mistake. I'm looking at the kilowatt hours like every single month.
The worst part about it, though, too, is that the energy company that I use, it's the one website that I have that does not automatically save my username and my password.
Great point.
So I couldn't figure out what my username was because I had to find what my actual energy number was. So I go look up to find what my energy number is, and I have to go through like three steps of verification. Then I get my energy number, and then or I get my password, and I enter my password in, like a temporary password, and then it says, oh, you don't know your username. And then I had to enter in to figure out what my username is.
Worst.
And then all of a sudden I figure out, after all the hula hoops that I had to jump through to get to the point where I just saw what the bill was charging me, I'm like, it's $120. What the hell? Is it because I changed my password? What's going on here?
Boy, I need to go back to living in a one bedroom. I'm going to go home and tell the wife.
No, it's not worth
today
it.
That, like, $120.
Here's
my
God. I might be paying more
cheap
for energy than you are, Seth, right now.
we're kicking it old school. Remember the story I told about Vic Fangio when he moved us into the linebackers meeting room?
Yes.
So we got grittier and more like tougher and everything. I'm going to tell my wife and daughter that. Like, listen, we're going to get grittier and tougher. We're moving into a studio apartment. We're going to live the way, you know what? I grew up like living in my dad's construction sites. It'd be dead of winter. We'd been in some old house he's rehabbing, and we'd be eating beans, not even cooked beans, just cold beans on the hardwood floor of a partially finished living room. That's what we're going to do. Which one of my listeners just has a partially finished rehab house? I'm going to go live there with my family.
I'm just imagining,
in Ireland or wherever you are.
I'm just imagining Seth living in a studio apartment with his family where it's like two mattresses on the floor. It's like a fold-up, fold-down kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Just a weird dynamic.
It's like J.J. Watt's cabin.
This is it, baby. I promise. Look, I can't give you what Tim Tebow can give you, but I can give you this.
I want to know who you guys are rooting for in the playoffs. Not just this weekend, but in the playoffs. Because I have a list of nine, which is curious because there are only eight teams still left in the playoffs. The first two are anybody but the Patriots. Anybody but the Patriots.
Man.
Anybody but the Patriots. I'll be rooting for that. then I am rooting for, basically, what I always think about is, and this is, I've been like this as a fan even before social media. I've always been rooting for what team winning would bother me the least. That's why I was so gleeful that the Eagles won last year, because them winning did not bother me in the least, and the best part was they beat the Pats. So I'm rooting for these teams. In order, I'm rooting for the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Rams.
Okay.
And the teams at the bottom three for me are the Eagles, because their fans are starting to annoy me, the Colts, because of Jim Irsay and just division and general annoyance, and the Cowboys, because of the narrative. Because if the Cowboys somehow won the Super Bowl, there would be a narrative about Jason Garrett that would bother me.
Oh, really? I don't know if there would be a narrative. I think the narrative would be more about Jerry Jones, the GM. Jerry Jones, the GM, and Stephen Jones, the sub-GM. I've read this book by Gary Myers now about the Cowboys, and I feel dirty, because every time I start reading about the Cowboys, I actually get sucked right in, because it's such an interesting story. But I can't root for them. I'm not going to root for them. I'm going, number one, Saints, because of Drew Brees. I know he's already won his, but I want him to get that second one in a completely second era post-Bounty Gate. And also because their defensive backs coach is Aaron Glenn. And I love Aaron Glenn. He's one of my favorite teammates ever. The Chargers, because of Philip Rivers. The Colts is my third choice. And look, I apologize to everybody that's going to be upset with this. I like Andrew Luck. I respect him. He is a noble and respectable foe. And just like in medieval times, we will respect that. No, one day we will put a lance through his neck and kill him, but we will respect him as we do it. I'm taking it medieval on this way in a good way. Then I'm going to go with the Chiefs because of Andy Reid, kind of Pat Mahomes because I like him, and because I did, he was my selection over Deshaun Watson.
That's
I'm still
fine.
A little conflicted about that. The Rams, because Sean McVay, look, I know people are sick of Sean McVay. What are you going to do about it? I don't know what to tell you. Like, everybody, in an era where everybody thinks everything's all razzle-dazzle with these offenses and it's all read option and whatnot, Sean McVay is kind of doing it old school. He's just doing it smarter than everybody else. He's running an old school offense in a lot of respects, but he's got a little bit of jet sweep action. I like Sean McVay. Am I afraid? Am I so insecure that he's a young, good-looking guy that I have to be jealous of him like so many of you people? No. So I'll go with the Rams as my fifth choice.
Well, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say who I root for. In fact, I don't know if this is problematic either, but I sort of feel like R. Kelly. I'm trapped in the closet.
You're rooting
now
for
I'm
R.
in
Kelly?
The closet. Now I'm in the closet too. I can't even say what NFL team I'm rooting for this weekend because too many people will get mad at you. That's how I feel right now. I have a shirt on underneath this Patagonia sweater. Of course, you all know who I'm rooting for, but I'm not going to say who I'm rooting for because I don't want to take any of you off, because it is the new and improved Paul Gallant
who is trying to make people happy in a bar.
The
old Paul Gallant would be like, you guys are all idiots because you don't understand why the Patriots are so dominant, how they'll pull it
Fine.
Out again.
My Tom is an awesome Tom. I believe that Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior. So, of course, I'm rooting for the New England Patriots, number one. Number two, I'm rooting for the Chargers. Number three, I'm rooting for the Saints. I hate every other team that's in the playoffs. I hate them.
That's a good point.
I'm gonna rank them from one to five in terms of how much I hate them. Number one, the Eagles. You don't deserve any nice things.
Take that, Jonesy.
Nick Foles is not good. I'm sorry. He's above average, but I want to see him exposed. I want those stupid Philadelphia Eagle fans with their 8-7 record, 9-7 record making the playoffs to shut up. You're not good. None of your sports teams have ever been good.
Jonesy.
You're a loser town that worships Rocky. Get the bleep out of here.
That is true. You do worship a fictional character.
He's a small, he's a 5'3" Italian man who's not even a real person. Your greatest athlete ever because you're too racist to admit that Joe Frazier is actually a good athlete.
Jonesy embracing the hate in there. He's gloating.
Hey, that's a good point about Joe Frazier. Points for that reference.
I credit Bill Burr for that. Bill Burr had an epic rant to Philadelphians once for 10 minutes. It's fantastic. Number two, the Indianapolis Colts. Wow, you actually put up a flag saying 1-0 because that's our weekly motto every single week. You guys are losers.
It's a disgrace.
Okay, you know what? Good point. I've let my respect for Andrew Luck overshadow too many things. I'm bucking them down a couple.
Jim Irsay. Number three, the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want any of those people to act like they're good again. They are in a place right now where they know their place. They know they're not the same Cowboy team anymore. A a real Cowboy fan will honestly tell you what that team really is. It's a quarterback that has Dak Prescott, and they're terrified that Jason Garrett is going to be stuck with them for a while. Number four, I'm going to expand on this in just a little bit, but I'm a little tired of the Rams love. I'm a little bit tired of it. And number five, the Chiefs. Jealous. I want to see Andy Reid succeed, but I can't deal with an entire offseason of people saying Patrick Mahomes, man, you know, the Chiefs, they've got their guy in Patrick Mahomes. Where, you know, do the Texans really have their guy in Deshaun Watson? Can you deal with that?
I don't know if that conversation will be as much as you fear it might be.
Is part of that Pat Mahomes so clearly outplayed Tom Brady this year?
Well, I think he
no, it's not that. It's more. Mahomes was better than Deshaun Watson this year.
Yes, and he was better by a clear margin than everybody except for Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So I don't even feel badly about that one. Plus, he went before Deshaun Watson as well.
Ooh,
so wait. I think the consensus seems to be that all of us in some way are rooting for the Saints and the Chargers.
I love Philip Rivers and I love Drew Brees.
You've got the Saints as your fifth choice. You're not rooting for them.
Well,
that's tepid non-disapproval.
I'm rooting for the Chargers and the Chiefs more than the Saints, but I'm still rooting for the Saints. Past the Saints, I'm okay with the Rams. Everybody else I'm not okay with in some degree or another.
The fact that I'm rooting for the Chargers because of Philip Rivers is something I would not have foreseen 10 years ago. I used to despise that spazzy mofo, but now I love him.
Coming up next, I'm one of the teams that I mentioned on my hate list, the teams that I'm rooting against in the playoffs because I'm just a spiteful individual.